BTL continues on Sports Radio 810. Great to have you with us this evening. Hope you're having a safe drive home tonight. There's high water in a lot of places. Be careful. If you see water, don't think you can go through it because it is rough out there tonight. We have had a big, big, big storm all day today. There could be another big storm brewing for Tyreek Hill as KCTV 5 is about to air another exclusive report. This one involves a 911 call, a dispatch call. They do not have the recording of the 911 call. They have the dispatch call. Apparently, she has passed out earlier this month at their home, and this incident may have led to the state taking the three-year-old boy from the home. So we'll air this for you here coming up in just a couple of minutes as Angie Rocono is the chief investigative reporter at KCTV 5, and then Josh Briscoe is going to join us. I think he's going to join us here right now. He'll have sports night tonight, which will be just kind of continuing after this story goes. We don't know where this one's headed, but we did learn from Angie Rocono, Josh. The police have been to Tyreek Hill's house 5 times this year.
Wow. Okay. That's the first I'm hearing of it.
Five times.
That's not great. A whole lot of this reads as not real great.
No.
Wow. That's, yeah, that's bad.
It's really a sad story, and we'll see what this one is about. It sounds convoluted like everything else that they do. She is apparently passed out at the house, and he is not there. He's at a hotel somewhere and calls 911 and has an ambulance sent to the house to help her, I guess. And the kid is probably there and maybe unattended at that point. We'll just have to wait and see exactly what the story is. But this was found through an open records request from Channel 5. They had to work through the back channels. They can't get the 911 call because the investigation is now reopened. So the police are protecting the 911 call. They're teasing the story right now. So it's getting ready to come up here shortly. They probably have one more spot they're going to run right there. Can you tell? Nope.
They are on to CBS News.
Todd says it's a kicker is where they are. You do kickers on your show, JB?
I don't know. The only kickers we talk about, like, score points for the most part or kick the ball away. I don't know. I'm not nearly as well versed in the television world.
We have good kickers in this town, don't we?
We do. Yeah, that's great. And that would right? be so much more fun to talk about
the Chiefs
tonight.
Have a couple good kickers,
they
and
do.
Sporting's got a bunch of good kickers. So.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that someone on the Royals has a hidden talent. I feel like yeah,
there you
don't
go.
Don't you think Terrence Gore could kick a ball really
sure.
far if he wanted
yes.
to? Dude's
yes.
got power.
And would be an unstoppable soccer player.
I would think so,
yes.
right? If he'd been playing soccer his whole life. And honestly, I've watched him run the bases a few times recently. I think maybe he should have been playing soccer.
Right. He'd have to have the ball skills, right?
Yeah.
Are you surprised that Tyreek Hill is still a Chief?
Yeah, I really am. That's the question that I've been kicking around for a while of just like, man, what are you waiting on here? And I guess the Chiefs on some level don't want to seem like a fool if they cut him and then somebody else picks him up and then now Tyreek Hill's a Cleveland Brown or whatever. But they look like a fool anyway because they continue to carry this guy on the roster. And, man, there's something to be said for, like, the due process of it all, and they keep giving that, and that's fine and well and good, and suspending from team activities totally makes sense. But the audio that we got around this time last week, that feels like about all you need, right? And if you feel like you can talk to the guy with any sort of honesty in that conversation, don't you think that the Chiefs could have gotten something out of him?
I don't think they want to know.
But I think you're probably right.
They don't want to know.
I think you're
probably
right.
They don't want to talk to him.
They asked too many questions to Kareem Hunt, and that ended up getting all of them in trouble where they couldn't keep him on the roster. And so maybe if they just try to let the law clear up Tyreek Hill, they can say, hey, we're the team that we're just letting the law make these decisions. We're not a law enforcement organization. That might be for the best.
All right, let's go live to KCTV 5 News and see what this story is all about.
KCTV 5 has uncovered new evidence of police officers responding to the home shared by Tyreek Hill, his fiance, and their son.
A 3-year-old is walking around with no one attending him.
What these new reports reveal about the ongoing investigation into Hill and Crystal Espinal and the decision to remove their son from their home. But first, heavy rains once again are soaking Kansas City.
A flood warning is in effect.
Okay, we're not going to do the weather part here. They teased it. We'll get back to the Tyreek Hill thing here in just a moment. They've got Brett Anthony on right now. I used to work with him, JB, in
yeah.
Joplin, Missouri, way back in the day.
Do you think he's going to maybe shoot you a text and let us know whenever they're going back to the story that
maybe
we're cutting
something
in for?
Like that, right?
Yeah, they got, do you a favor?
They got poor Brett out in the rain. They got Gary Amble in the nice dry studio here, and they'll be doing the Tyreek Hill story. Okay, we did hear on that dispatch call yeah. that there's a 3-year-old walking around unattended in the home, and this was one of the charges that they were pursuing. The authorities were pursuing is that just unaccompanied, unattended minor.
Mm-hmm.
This just does not sound like a good home, man.
No, I don't think that you can think anything other than there are a lot of problems in this home, that the protection of everyone is very much in question. And if you could solve those issues, then everything would be going a whole lot more smoothly. If I can make one prediction, it's that we're probably going to hear this audio in a few minutes and then come out with a bunch more questions that no one has answers to, which isn't very satisfying, but is unlikely or unfortunately the likely end point for it, I assume.
It is just amazing the turmoil and the dysfunction that they've had over these few years. And it brings in so many questions. You said it one question after another. It all just seems too convenient, okay?
Yeah.
Like, she's got the child. Hey, our future, this guy's now going to make a bunch of money. We'll piece this thing together somehow. We'll make it work. You just get the feeling that it never worked. They made it look publicly on their social media accounts like this is a great ending to this story. It was a terrible thing in college.
Yep.
But look at this now. We're together. We have a child. We're getting married. It's all so good. And I don't think it was ever good.
And everyone wanted to believe that it was good or getting better, including them, I'm sure, because it's not. There's the big contract coming for Tyreek Hill that was coming, right? But there's also the child and then pregnant with twins. I think that there's something in human nature to say, we want to make this work. We want to make it work and we want to make it work. And then eventually you try that so much, but you're ultimately kind of blinded by the fact of it, which is this is not going to work.
And this will probably not be great for her tonight either.
Yeah.
But the more this goes on, I'm not even sure she's capable of raising the son.
Right.
I don't know.
And she's pregnant with twins.
I know. I don't have enough to go on right now whether she's it just totally feels like she was in it for the money.
It
feels like.
And again, maybe if you wanted to be more optimistic, she's in it for trying to have a father for her children, you know? And maybe, in all likelihood, there's some of both happening. There's probably a lot going on there. But you're right. All the audio we've heard, listen, she is a victim. No question.
No doubt.
But she's also made some bad decisions for everyone involved. And the only blameless victims, completely blameless, are these children that can't make any of these choices. She is certainly a victim. That is unequivocal. But also a victim that's probably going to have a bad look reflected on her from all the audio we're going to end up hearing.
All right, we're monitoring KCTV 5 News. They're still in weather. It looks like we got over 4 inches in some parts of the city. That's pretty amazing. Southern Missouri had some tornadoes and stuff, so they're showing that video. And then this story will be coming right up with Angie Ricono, their chief investigative reporter, on Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal.
His fiance, Crystal Espinal, and why neither of them have custody.
Tonight, you will hear about calls for help to that address. One comes from Tyreek Hill. Here's investigative reporter Angie Ricono.
The emerging picture is concerning. We knew there were two police reports involving the couple's child, one for battery and another one for child abuse and neglect. We discovered three more reports through an open records request. One may explain why Crystal Espinal lost custody of her 3-year-old son.
Calling 234 for a medical call.
This is dispatch audio alerting medical crews are needed at the home of Tyreek Hill.
The medical call, one Schweitzer Road. Caller advising he's currently at a hotel. He sees a female passed out. The female was watching the reporting party's 3-year-old son. The 3-year-old is walking around with no one attending him. The female is 7 months pregnant. Medical's also responding.
These are pictures from inside that home that Hill rents. They were taken before Hill and eventually Espinal moved in. The police report shows a woman, the likely owner of this home, also shows up at the house, likely to let police inside. We reached out to Crystal Espinal, her family, and her attorney about the police report documenting a call for medical help. We have not heard a response. Remember, she's 7 months pregnant with twins. This new information fits with the timeline KCTV 5 has been investigating and reporting. It all starts in March with the police reports concerning the couple's 3-year-old child. The complaint concerned a broken arm from January. Those reports were taken on March 5th and March 14th. KCTV 5 reports on that police investigation on March 15th. The call for medical help for Crystal comes 2 weeks later on April 1st, when Tyreek Hill is living in a hotel due to a no-contact order with his son. That same week, Hill heads to court alone.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
Sources tell us that's because Crystal Espinal was in the hospital and could not make it to court. At that hearing, Crystal loses custody.
Are you hoping to get custody back of your son?
Less than 2 weeks later, both parents head to court holding hands, but a judge does not grant either of them custody. At that point, a police investigation is underway into that broken arm, and a medical call for help has been made for the mother. The next day, KCTV 5 breaks the story. The parents no longer have custody.
Has declined to file charges.
1 week later, on the 24th, the district attorney holds a press conference announcing there will be no charges. He's closing the case because he can't determine which parent to charge.
This investigation got brought back up.
The next day, KCTV 5 releases the exclusive audio between parents Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal.
Because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people.
That night at 8 p.m., there is a new police report showing a welfare check. The Chiefs announce Tyreek Hill is suspended from all football activities. On Friday, the district attorney reopens the criminal investigation. On Saturday, there is a fifth report for an alarm being tripped.
So we do not know why Crystal was seen passed out inside her home at 5 in the evening. The big question we now have concerns those cameras inside the home. When were they installed? And were investigators able to see what happened inside the home between these parents and their son? So we will keep you posted on where this investigation heads next. Tonight, neither parent faces any charges, but the DA says a crime has been committed and a judge has ruled the boy should remain in the care of another family. Angie Ricono, KCTV 5 News.
Thank you, Angie. And tonight we're hearing from one of Hill's teammates about the accusations against him. Cornerback Tyrann Mathieu spoke to Alex Gold with the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
Obviously, the audio, is just very disappointing, not only from a teammate standpoint, but, I'm a father as well.
And you can hear that full interview tonight at 9:40.
Startling allegations tonight from the end of a...
Okay, there's the report on KCTV 5, Angie Ricono, a three-year-old unattended in the home with mom passed out, pregnant and passed out, and then she missed a court date in the hospital, so she must have some complications or something with her pregnancy. We'll assume that's, best case scenario is that she's getting treatment for that. Josh Briscoe here, he's going to be taken over in just a little bit with Sports Night. You said we'd have a bunch more questions after we heard this. Yep. That's exactly right. Yep. The first one is about all the cameras in the house.
Right.
And is Tyreek Hill watching on these cameras from a hotel because the court has ordered him to be away from his son and sees his fiance passed out and calls 911? That's what it sounded like to me.
It seems reasonable, right? You have a big enough house, enough money, whatever, that you have security cameras that would be inside this. That's getting easier and easier to manage and see from your phone everything, too. So my first thought was, wait, how did he see all... But that... That more or less
right
checks out. And then maybe, I don't know, there could be some sort of alert or he just looks and sees and the kid's walking around, mom's passed out for whatever reason. I don't know.
How about does she know there's a camera in the house?
I guess it's a fair question. Most of the security cameras that are popping to mind for me that are around the houses are probably, I would imagine, hooked up for both of them. I would want to think right. That for the sake of the child. But again, I don't know if those assumptions are reasonable.
I don't even know where to process all of this now. Yeah. Okay, so what we really learned from this was Tyreek Hill basically was kicked out of his own house by the state, staying in a hotel. He had an order, no contact order with his three-year-old son, so he cannot even visit or be around that son, it sounds like. She lost custody of this son as well. The son is with another family. And one of the police reports earlier was battery, child abuse, and neglect.
Mm-hmm.
And neglect becomes the big word there. If they have videos now of bad situations where the child goes long periods of time unattended, that's a very, very serious thing.
And that was the one word. Neglect was the word from the initial reports that I think, at least for me, was sort of under the radar because that's not intentional, right? Like the definition of neglect is like maybe it's just kind of on the back burner. That paints a picture though of what neglect could look like. That you have to imagine that's some sort of norm, right? Like isn't it a little bit odd for that to be the one situation that stands up? But also, I don't know, she's 7 months pregnant and stuff happens. It could have been a very serious just medical incident with her.
I think the hard part for me right now is if life was so difficult and dysfunctional and complicated for them when the times were good, imagine what the last few weeks have been like.
Yeah, you hardly can. The best way to put those pieces together is to remember that the child's with another family now, and so at least it's good for the kid. at least. I mean, and good is still wrong. I've mentioned this around here a couple of times. My family has done a lot with foster care and police protective custody and stuff like that. Those kids, are even when they're in a better situation, it's not good. It's an extremely tumultuous time for them. But it's better, I guess I should say, than still being in that home.
Right, it's still a shock to be away from your
Absolutely.
Parents. You get taken out and you're
traumatic.
It's still
yes.
traumatic and shocking. So, all right, well, there's the new report from Channel 5. Angie Ricconos, pretty good job here getting all these audio recordings and things now.
Yeah.
So I know you're going to have much more coming up on this tonight. The Royals have rained out. Good call several hours ago, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Man, did it rain a lot today. And you'll have much more on Tyreek Hill. And what else you got planned?
I don't know. I didn't really have anything planned.
Oh, you didn't?
It was going to be baseball tonight, and there's no baseball in this time. And eventually have an NBA game at 9. So between then and now, we're going to probably talk about a lot of complicated things. And the sporting show at 8 o'clock, that's happening. So there's that. So sporting show at 8, NBA at 9. Until then, we are going to probably clumsily walk around one of the most complicated stories that's come through the city in a while. Just pretty easy stuff here on a Tuesday.
It's all yours, buddy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Josh Briscoe taking over next right here on Sports Radio 810.
Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 WHB. Just sort of sticking around to talk about what we're getting right now from Tyreek Hill and basically to stay on Twitter for you. Because I don't know, frankly, I'm Josh Briscoe, by the way. I was just in here with Kevin. Thanks to Kevin for sticking around a little bit before handing over the keys. I was listening to the story with you. If you missed it, we'll replay it here in just a second. But I'm taking in what we saw and what we heard from Channel 5 there just a little bit ago, the new information, the 911 call from the dispatcher, not including Tyreek Hill, who apparently was the one that called in, also apparently staying in a hotel. It sounds like it was all very serious, that we all really knew that Tyreek Hill was not around and not to be around his fiance and child for I think obvious reasons, right? The idea and the fact of Tyreek Hill finding his fiance passed out in their home as he's watching from a hotel room does beg some questions that Kevin was touching on just a little bit ago. I would say that. And also, Lebo mentioned that whenever you're renting out a house, maybe there are cameras in the house. Like that, I don't, maybe that's a part of a rental agreement. I don't know. I think that there's a sane argument for, hey, I'm an NFL football player that's very famous, that's going to make a lot of money very soon. Not the case anymore, obviously, but was on track to make a bunch of money very soon. And therefore, I'm going to make sure that I've got a doorbell with a camera, that I've got 14 cameras in the house. I got a camera on the back door. I got a camera on the side door. I got a camera on the deck. And all of that goes to your phone. You get alerts and stuff, right? This is a little bit weird because it's not something that would have sent an alert, I would imagine, right? And I don't know. Maybe Hill was checking in on whatever was going on at the house and then found his fiance to be passed out and then called 911. I will say, and we'll play that back here in a second, speaking editorially here, that was less impactful than the first couple of chunks of audio that we got from Channel 5 on all of this. The he's afraid of you, you should be afraid of me too, be lying, like that's going to be the thing that's on the tombstone of Tyreek Hill's NFL career, or at least his Chiefs career. It's going to be that phrase. That's going to be the audio that plays back whenever the Chiefs eventually cut him, which I still believe that they will eventually do. That's going to be the line that I think sticks with everybody for the most part. And we'll play that initial report here in a little bit as well, just to make sure that you're getting all the appropriate context. I didn't hear game-changing stuff there. That was sort of coloring in more of the outline of a picture that none of us want to be looking at. We've gotten the outline, and we got it in Technicolor with the clips that they got last week, with the recording from the airport and all of that. Today may have been a little extra shading. It pulls the full picture a little bit more together in a way that is upsetting and is frustrating and is hard to listen to. And also, to the point of, like, is that kind of creepy? Yeah, it is kind of creepy. And everything feels worse within the context of everything else in the story, right? Like, Tyreek Hill calling 911 for his passed out fiance. If someone you love has passed out and you see it in any regard, you call 911 immediately. That's the obvious thing that anyone does ever. And pregnant with twins, by the way. But within the context of this story, everything's gross. Everything's creepy. Everything's upsetting. Everything is worrisome. And that's just the truth of it. I'm not even trying to be prescriptive in that regard. And we were talking about it this way whenever the initial report came out that the police were looking into Tyreek Hill's house and just had been looking into the health of his child and stuff like that. The thing that I was saying at the time that was not prescriptive but descriptive was he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt here. Legally, he still does. And by the way, there were not charges being pressed against him until more information started coming out after the fact. And by the way, I saw lots of people asking this question. The reporter who was just on with Kevin, by the way, Beards, another thing. Maybe we pull up a chunk of that conversation from a little bit ago to be able to provide more context from her because she's been on top of this whole story. But the reason that they were like withholding pieces of audio was because they hadn't gotten permission from their source to reveal it until after it was announced there would not be charges pressed against Tyreek Hill. Well, that you can see how that would inspire someone to say, okay, you know what? This is not the best way of doing this, but fine. You can publish the audio because I want to see justice come to this person. I think that's the logic of whoever it was that got the audio to KCTV5. I do believe that, and forgive me, I'm trying to keep all of the details together, but I do believe that the report there was that the fiance had recorded it and then given it to someone else for safekeeping, and then that person had ultimately passed it along to Channel 5 and then gave them permission to give it away. So there are a lot of moving pieces here. And that's another thing. Earlier today, I was talking about this and sort of preparing for whatever it was we were going to hear at 6, and I do want to sort of extend a little bit of empathy to everyone who's hearing this story and may have a reaction today that they don't have 24 hours later. If you have a reaction to anything along the lines of this whole story that's just vitriol and anger or disgust, that's okay. It's a really complicated story with a lot of moving pieces where the children are perfect victims, right? They're completely not at all responsible for what it is that they're going through. Where the fiance, we know for a fact that she's been a victim on multiple occasions because we can go back to the college incident. She's a victim that has had very difficult choices. And again, I have absolutely no interest in sounding like I'm casting blame to her for anything that any of the choices that she made. I believe that she's trying to make decisions in her best interest and in the best interest of her family. But she does have some autonomy there, and she comes out of this looking not great. Tyreek Hill, though, still at this point, we have to believe is the prime aggressor. That's every piece of information we've received so far. And I don't think that kind of assumption is dangerous at this point. I think that's to be expected at this point. But the report today from Channel 5, again, I'll say, doesn't have story-breaking, story-changing elements. It brings up, expectedly, a lot of questions about the fiance, and Crystal Espinal is her name. It's just, I keep calling her the fiance. You know, I think you know who I'm talking about. But the mother of their child, why was she passed out? What was the camera situation? How was Tyreek Hill alerted to look at the cameras? Was he just watching them? Does he have them up somewhere? There are questions that we can't even begin to answer without way more information, but we do want to give you all the information. So here is KCTV5's report from just about 20 minutes ago on Channel 5, detailing the new updates regarding Tyreek Hill and this 911 call that gives you a little more color in a picture that has not yet been fully painted.
and another one for child abuse and neglect. We discovered three more reports through an open records request. One may explain why Crystal Espinal lost custody of her three-year-old son.
Calling 234 for a medical call.
This is dispatch audio alerting medical crews are needed at the home of Tyreek Hill.
The medical call, 1 Schweitzer Road. Caller advising he's currently at a hotel. He sees a female passed out. The female was watching the reporting party's three-year-old son. The three-year-old is walking around with no one attending him. The female is 7 months pregnant. Medical's also responding.
These are pictures from inside that home that Hill rents. They were taken before Hill and eventually Espinal moved in. The police report shows a woman, the likely owner of this home, also shows up at the house, likely to let police inside. We reached out to Crystal Espinal, her family, and her attorney about the police report documenting a call for medical help. We have not heard a response. Remember, she's 7 months pregnant with twins. This new information fits with the timeline KCTV5 has been investigating and reporting. It all starts in March with the police reports concerning the couple's three-year-old child. The complaint concerned a broken arm from January. Those reports were taken on March 5th and March 14th. KCTV5 reports on that police investigation on March 15th. The call for medical help for Crystal comes 2 weeks later on April 1st, when Tyreek Hill is living in a hotel due to a no-contact order with his son. That same week, Hill heads to court alone.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
Sources tell us that's because Crystal Espinal was in the hospital and could not make it to court. At that hearing, Crystal loses custody.
Are you hoping to get custody back of your son?
Less than 2 weeks later, both parents head to court holding hands, but a judge does not grant either of them custody. At that point, a police investigation is underway into that broken arm, and a medical call for help has been made for the mother. The next day, KCTV5 breaks the story. The parents no longer have custody.
Has declined to file charges.
1 week later, on the 24th, the district attorney holds a press conference announcing there will be no charges. He's closing the case because he can't determine which parent to charge.
This investigation got brought back up.
The next day, KCTV5 releases the exclusive audio between parents Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal.
Because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people.
That night at 8 p.m., there is a new police report showing a welfare check. The Chiefs announce Tyreek Hill is suspended from all football activities. On Friday, the district attorney reopens the criminal investigation. On Saturday, there is a fifth report for an alarm being tripped.
So we do not know why Crystal was seen passed out inside her home at 5 in the evening. The big question we now have concerns those cameras inside the home. When were they installed? And were investigators able to see what happened inside the home between these parents and their son? So we will keep you posted on where this investigation heads next. Tonight, neither parent faces any charges, but the DA says a crime has been committed and a judge has ruled the boy should remain in the care of another family. Angie Ricono, KCTV5 News.
Thank you, Angie. And tonight we're hearing from one of Hill's teammates about the accusations against him. Cornerback Tyrann Mathieu spoke to Alex Gold with the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
Obviously, the audio, it's just very disappointing, not only from a teammate standpoint, but, I'm a father as well.
And you can hear that full interview tonight at 9:40.
All right, so that's KCTV5 a little bit ago talking about this story, giving the reports that are new tonight. And so that's what we're talking about here now. I want to be fair to 5. I want to be fair to the reporting. I also want to acknowledge that that, again, is not as impactful as the first time we did all of this. But a couple of things here real quick just from Twitter. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can tweet at Sports Radio 810. I'll see him there regardless. Someone tweeted in and say, okay, now you're not reporting facts. It's personal, your speculation about Tyreek Hill. Yes, it's speculation. What I am doing is repeating the information and the actual reporting. Channel 5 is reporting. I am bringing you the reporting. I have no information of my own on this storyline. I am here to continually bring you the reporting and then to tell you how it makes me feel And what I think happens after this, and my opinions about what the Chiefs should do, could do, would do, won't do, all of that. Right now, I'm here to repeatedly bring you the reporting. If I'm saying that as an original thought, it is a thought, a discussion, a conversation I think we should have, something that I hope to be thought-provoking, whatever. But I don't think that's that complicated. I wanted to address that because I think that that's an important clarification that we should all be able to understand here. We are discussing the larger picture. We're adding in the information that we got tonight, and we're just here to talk about it. And I think we're going to be here till 8 to talk about it. So that's how we're handling it for the evening. If other news is added, if other reporting is added, we will bring it to you right away. That's what we're doing, carrying Channel 5's report today, and we'll continue to do it. If the Chiefs make a statement, if any lawyers make a statement, if Channel 5 adds anything, if the Chiefs say it, whatever it is, we will bring it to you here on Sports Radio 810. I'm here to tell you where I'm at with it, and it is a discussion topic, and certainly a worthy one. One of the most important players on the Chiefs has been in the middle of what I would certainly believe to be a self-inflicted bleep storm over these last several days and weeks, really. That's a conversation that we are going to unapologetically continue to have because it is important and it is complicated and it is multifaceted and it is serious. So we are going to talk about it. There's no conversation to have within all of that. I'm Josh Abriscoe. We need to take a break here. Whenever we come back, we'll continue to try to bring you other angles of this, recap some things you should know, and I'm willing to have a conversation with you about it. If you tweet in, again, I'm at JB Briscoe. You can tweet at Sports Radio 810. We're also streaming live on the Facebook page right now, the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page. If you would like to watch the show from there or add comments there, we'll try to sift through them. And if you have a question that I think I can answer, or if you have a comment that I think adds something to the conversation, we will happily bring it in here because that's the place that we're all at right now. We're in this scrum trying to figure out what's important, what isn't, what's new, what isn't, and where are we now? That's sort of the continued question we'll attempt to continue to answer here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 here. I'm Josh Abriscoe. Beards McFly is running it all right now. We're just basically here to talk about the updates on Tyreek Hill. More audio comes out tonight from KCTV 5. We'll replay that for you here. I don't know, like pretty much once a segment or every other segment. What I would say, though, and I'm sticking with the analogy here, is that we had a pretty well-drawn picture from the audio from last week. And tonight's update just colored it in a little more, adding what feels like another layer of dysfunction to this relationship and household. Also, it's hard to know if there's... I'm going to backtrack. I could see if that whole 911 call was happening between two family friends who you knew and loved and felt great about and thought they took great care of their children and everything, you could make an argument for, oh, she's pregnant and passed out for some reason. That's horrible. Thank God he checked his phone that, you know, has a connection to the camera that allows him to keep tabs on his child and extremely pregnant wife. But this situation, you just don't volunteer that kind of benefit of the doubt whenever you know everything else that's been surrounding this particular story. A couple things I've seen in the comments on the Facebook page, people asking sort of what's the rush? Why is this a continued conversation now? Why don't we let it play out? Why don't we let the Chiefs decide what they're doing, all of that? Someone said, why don't you let the law figure out what they're doing? Why don't you let the Chiefs figure out what they're doing? Why don't you let it all play out before you talk about it? The law had decided. They decided they were not able, they thought a crime had been committed, but were not able to figure out who to charge. Then the reporting happened. Channel 5 released this audio that had been given to them, and it reopened the criminal case. It put the heat back on the Chiefs. It made us talk about it again and realize the full extent of the damage within this relationship that directly involves a child. the process was playing out, and then it stopped. The journalism being done here, the reporting being done by Channel 5, is the reason that there's still a chance that the full picture is found out. So I will absolutely not cast aspersions on the media that went through with all of this reporting from the Star through Channel 5. I will not say anything by way of, well, they should have just sat on it and let things play out, because the way they were playing out seemed to be pointing towards injustice. That child was hurt, and we didn't, the police weren't able to figure out who was responsible for hurting and neglecting this child. That's the definition of injustice. And I, again, looking at the Facebook comments, someone said, let it go, dude, until there's some actual evidence. Media is a freaking joke. Thank you, Dan, who has what appear to be his children as his cover photo on Facebook, which makes me extra uncomfortable. That's not great. Anyway, I don't know how on earth you could construct the walls between the different sections of your brain to have heard what we know for a fact and then write that off as something that is totally meaningless in the grand scheme of things. I'm going to play it for you here in just a second. But again, to the point of the media that is such a joke, we wouldn't have any of this without the reporting. The Star had the ball rolling with the reports of an investigation going into his household. Channel 5 went through and added to that. Channel 5 now brings you this audio that they were not allowed to release by the wishes of the person who provided the audio to them until after the police decided they couldn't pin anyone with crimes they believed to have been committed. Listen, I know that I'm biased because I'm a form of media. But I will say, I'm not doing it at this point in my life. I'm not that type of media. Because the reporters at The Star, the reporters at Channel 5, Angie Riccone, who you've heard here on 810 a couple times over the last week or so, those are reporters who, as the sole part of their job, work to find the truth in things whenever it has not yet been found out. So to somehow make, did the actual content of tonight's newscast live up to the hype of it? Maybe not. But I can easily say that and also unequivocally say that we would not have any of this information. The criminal case would not have been reopened if we didn't have the reporting of the media in this city. Specifically, again, what Channel 5 has gotten over the last week. That is a vital piece of this giant moving wheel that rolls out the facts here and more information here, and that reopens the criminal case. If your beef is with the media, you're not paying attention. Let's go back to the newscast from last week. Again, I want you to remember what happened right before this. Before Channel 5 brought this out, with the audio that I'm sure they'll describe, is this just the audio, Beards, or is this the full newscast of that? Beard said it's the full clip that Lebo cut together, which did not answer my question.
It should have everything in it.
Okay, so how long is it?
It is 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
Okay, that's more than the audio that we had. So this will include Channel 5 leading to it, talking about it, all of that, a little bit within all of it. Okay, good to know. Thank you, Beards. Leading up to this these descriptions and all of this work and the audio that you will hear within this snippet, the district attorney came out and said, we believe that a child was the victim of something along the lines of criminal abuse, criminal neglect, criminal violence. We just don't know who to charge with it. This report that you're about to hear from KCTV 5 last week reopened it.
Because we were getting into it, and he said, Daddy, you're mean. So we walked up the stairs.
Right.
You
and then
said,
come back
down here.
Right.
And he didn't want to go down there. But right. I was like, go down there right. because it'll end up worse for you.
Right.
So he walked down there, and then you were getting on his about.
And then you said something, right?
No, you kept getting on, and then he started crying. And then you were like, shut up, stop crying.
Right.
Stop crying.
Right.
And then he kept crying because he was scared. He's terrified. And what, you grabbed That's onto scary. Him somehow, or he fell, one of the two.
I didn't do nothing. That's sad, bro. That is really sad.
Then why does say daddy did it? Why? Why does say daddy did it?
I don't know. He says daddy does a lot of things.
Like what? A 3-year-old's not going to lie about what happened to his arm.
We're told this was an insurance policy for Crystal and that this was recorded as the couple was walking through Dubai International Airport. It was given to a friend for safekeeping. It's been passed around. Now it's public.
You're not listening to me. Think about why a freaking 3-year-old would tell everybody and anybody that you broke his arm. Why would do that? Then why?
I'm the one that plays with him, maybe. That's why you don't do with him. I'm the one that get physical with it.
No, I play with hell of a lot more than you do. You just sit on your game all the damn time.
That's right. That's all I need to do.
So don't sit here and tell me I don't play with
You're right, bro. Like I said, I'm sorry for whatever happened. Because obviously this wasn't a match made in heaven right here. You know what I'm saying? We don't need no beef.
No, we don't.
The audio is more than 11 minutes long. Two parents arguing about a criminal investigation. Hill consistently denies he broke his son's arm, but he does talk about teaching the 3-year-old respect.
Everywhere we go, my son loves on me. Everywhere we go.
And then when we get home, what is it?
And when we get home, it's for real. It's serious time. It's time to lock in because he know I don't play. I want my son to learn respect, something that you did not teach our son, and something that he will get ran over in his work head, because first of all, our son is black. These white folks don't give a about our kids. They don't, and you know that, bro, and that's sad, bro.
Just things could have been handled a lot differently with him than the way that they have been now.
Right.
And these twins.
Right. You got it, bro.
Hill and Espinal accuse each other of troubling behavior and using belts to discipline their son.
And they said time and time again that literally kept saying, Daddy punches me, which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out and you
okay,
do.
Okay, so what about you? You what you don't do? You also, I'm just gonna take
no,
it.
No, I
you
told.
I told him that he gets whooped,
but I don't use a belt, which is totally
you
different.
You do use a belt, and that's sad. Even my mama said you use a belt.
When have I used a belt?
Espinal emphasizes twice she has backed Hill when it comes to nosy investigators.
And now somehow this investigation got brought back up, and you're about to lose your. So now I really want you to sit and think about it because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people. You really, really, really need to think about why says somebody broke his arm, and every single time he says it's you.
I don't know.
And then if I look at him, he'll change his story.
Cause he's telling the truth then, bro, and that's sad, bro.
Like, so, and then you sit here and tell me.
Program, bro.
No, and then you sit here and tell me that I'm not riding for you.
You're not, bro. You ain't riding for me in 2014. You damn sure ain't riding for me now, bro. And like, I really fully believe in my heart that you got something to do with money behind this.
In the audio, Espinal is concerned with how Hill disciplines their son.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect.
Me.
It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me, too. Don't. That's why you can't.
A Okay, so that's the audio from last week. I replay that because I feel like there have been a lot of questions asked along the Facebook page and whatnot that needed to be reminded of the context. And it's going to be that last few seconds. And by the way, also, I finally, for the first time, realized what he actually said at the end there. Does "You Should Be Terrified of Me Too" dumb be is what it is. There's a pause that I feel like actually is probably mis-subtitled first time through. Regardless, that's what we're working with here. There have been questions because, again, I think, and this is, I don't know, it's 2019, so I guess this is the hell that I live in, where, like, anything the media does, you immediately assume is a ratings grab or is a lie or is for clicks or whatever. Again, welcome to 2019. We don't trust the people who are reporting on things like making sure that kids aren't getting beaten in their homes. But the questions about when Channel 5 had the audio, that audio you just heard, and also the audio you heard earlier today, the audio you just heard, they had for a long period of time. They were not given permission by the source to release the audio until after the DA said the case was being closed. I imagine that whoever had that audio didn't want to betray any trust if they didn't have to, but then they ultimately see, hey, here's, you know what, it sounds like everybody's going to kind of get off in this situation, so we will turn this audio over to Channel 5. I do not know that logic to be a fact. That's my best guess. The audio from today, somebody tweeted at the reporter who you've heard throughout on the station and these reports, Angie Riccone, out of KCTV5. Someone said that they were dragging this out for ratings. Angie tweeted, she said, come on, do you think we sit on information for days? I did an open records request on Friday, received the information at 9:17 this morning from Overland Park PD. That's how this works. Is it better for everyone at the stations, whatever the shows get ratings? Sure. That's inarguable. That's also part of the, you know, the unfortunate media landscape that we live in, where you have to both do good and honest reporting and get ratings, and those things don't always go together. This happens to be a time that it does, in my opinion. My opinion. This is a time when good and honest and correct and well thought out and intentional and important reporting also happens to translate to good ratings for Channel 5. The fact that this is something that people are tuning into doesn't make it any less accurate or important or noble, frankly. Anything to the contrary there, I have absolutely no time for. I don't know how to explain it better than that. I hope that makes sense. I hope that I don't sound so combative that you've already decided that I'm a fake news shill. That's what I believe. Of course it's good for ratings for Channel 5 to have this information, and it's good for people and the family and the child for that audio to eventually make its way out. And the reason that it got out when it did, the reason that tonight's audio came out when it did, there are very good reasons for those that I just explained. The source didn't okay it until they did, and then they didn't get this audio you heard tonight until this morning. That's the logic. I hope that helps answer some of your questions. We'll continue to try to do that and make the best of the next hour or so around here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back on the Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. A couple of things happened during the commercial break. The question from Eric was tagging the 810 account saying that on 810 we've mentioned about being suspicious as to why and how the cameras are in the house. I think the logic for cameras in the house isn't that strange. But Eric says, well, is it possible he was watching them from the hotel room, saw her pass out and called 911? No, that's too logical. Got to be something else. No, dude. Like, no one did. You see your fiance, even during this week of everything being a mess and being terrible, you see your pregnant fiance passed out, you call 911. That part's not hard. We got that, dude. Thank you so much for your service, Eric. What I'm saying is, and the reason that it's sort of like there's a tweak of confusion there is, if he's not supposed to be in the house, is it not weird that he's watching remotely? And I don't know, man, maybe he's got all the security cameras hooked up and he just happened to glance at his phone and she had been there for who knows how long, and thank goodness he looked when he did. That's still not the most interesting part of this to me, but that is a part of it. So we'll replay you that today's update from Channel 5 here as we sit at the top of the hour. We'll pull that up in just a second. Right after we went to break, literally just as I was talking about it and just as we went to break, Angie Ricconno, the investigative reporter from KCTV5, tweeted, "Don't you hate it when facts get in the way of a good rumor? I got the audio Monday. Did not have permission to release it. Wednesday, the DA says no charges and my source makes it public. No one in the newsroom knew about the audio, so I alerted management and the legal team." That was the audio that they ended up releasing on, I believe it was Thursday at 6. That's how this works. This is a logical step-by-step of how journalism unfolds. It's not a conspiracy. It's not that complicated. Like, I mean, there are lots of moving factors, but understanding it isn't that hard. It doesn't all happen at once. It's not all that neatly packaged. They got permission to end up airing some audio that they aired on Thursday. They got this audio cleared earlier today. There are steps that go through all of this. Let's go ahead and give you the audio from just about an hour ago, straight up on Channel 5. It was the update from today. And we're basically just sticking around here on 810 to talk about this story and to keep you updated on anything that would happen following this story from earlier today. Again, to be terribly honest, I'd be really surprised if there was any big update following this story. This story doesn't contain bombshells. This story contains details, and it adds a little bit more color to the picture that we already have begun to get the line work on this story. But nonetheless, this is the update from KCTV5 earlier tonight.
And another one for child abuse and neglect. We discovered three more reports through an open records request. One may explain why Crystal Espinal lost custody of her three-year-old son.
Calling 234 for a medical call.
This is dispatch audio alerting medical crews are needed at the home of Tyreek Hill.
The medical call, 1 Schweitzer Road. Caller advising he's currently at a hotel. He sees a female passed out. The female was watching the reporting party's three-year-old son. The three-year-old is walking around with no one attending him. The female is 7 months pregnant. Medical's also responding.
These are pictures from inside that home that Hill rents. They were taken before Hill and eventually Espinal moved in. The police report shows a woman, the likely owner of this home, also shows up at the house, likely to let police inside. We reached out to Crystal Espinal, her family, and her attorney about the police report documenting a call for medical help. We have not heard a response. Remember, she's 7 months pregnant with twins. This new information fits with the timeline KCTV5 has been investigating and reporting. It all starts in March with the police reports concerning the couple's three-year-old child. The complaint concerned a broken arm from January. Those reports were taken on March 5th and March 14th. KCTV5 reports on that police investigation on March 15th. The call for medical help for Crystal comes 2 weeks later on April 1st, when Tyreek Hill is living in a hotel due to a no-contact order with his son. That same week, Hill heads to court alone.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
Sources tell us that's because Crystal Espinal was in the hospital and could not make it to court. At that hearing, Crystal loses custody.
Are you hoping to get custody back of your son?
Less than 2 weeks later, both parents head to court holding hands, but a judge does not grant either of them custody. At that point, a police investigation is underway into that broken arm, and a medical call for help has been made for the mother. The next day, KCTV5 breaks the story. The parents no longer have custody.
Has declined to file charges.
1 week later, on the 24th, the district attorney holds a press conference announcing there will be no charges. He's closing the case because he can't determine which parent to charge.
This investigation got brought back up.
The next day, KCTV5 releases the exclusive audio between parents Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal.
Because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people.
That night at 8 p.m., there is a new police report showing a welfare check. The Chiefs announce Tyreek Hill is suspended from all football activities. On Friday, the district attorney reopens the criminal investigation. On Saturday, there is a fifth report for an alarm being tripped. So we do not know why Crystal was seen passed out inside her home at 5 in the evening. The big question we now have concerns those cameras inside the home. When were they installed? And were investigators able to see what happened inside the home between these parents and their son? So we will keep you posted on where this investigation heads next. Tonight, neither parent faces any charges, but the DA says a crime has been committed and a judge has ruled the boy should remain in the care of another family. Angie Wercono, KCTV 5 News.
Thank you, Angie. And tonight we're hearing from one of Hill's teammates about the accusations against him. Cornerback Tyrann Mathieu spoke to Alex Gold with the Gold Standard on SB Nation Radio.
Obviously, the audio, is just very disappointing, not only from a teammate standpoint, but, I'm a father as well.
And you can hear that full interview tonight at 9:40.
So that's the report from KCTV 5 just about an hour ago just now. That sentence made no sense. About an hour ago. That was end of sentence. Why just now is nothing. One of the interesting things there that I feel like maybe one of the most interesting things that ultimately was sort of written off as just another part of it, if those security cameras do have footage of any act of violence, that would be, you couldn't overstate how important that would be. I mean, that would rock everything. Video, we're living in an age when video is, I don't want to say mandatory for people to start taking it seriously, but it really, 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 really helps. And so if video was going to come in this story, that would be the kind of evidence that would end the whole conversation that includes speculation and investigations and all of that. Kareem Hunt had video, and his video wasn't punching a kid. He was very clearly the aggressor and also the person capable of doing the most damage and the person doing the most damage in that video. But we're talking about a child. And I know that framing it that way is really ugly and really clunky, so forgive me for that. But it's not that I want to discount Kareem Hunt's video, and then there's the Ray Rice video that sort of feels like it started this era, and that was brutal. And I don't know. I don't want to rank things. That's not where I want to head with this at all. But if you were going to ultimately get video of even what you could try to argue was accidentally breaking a 3-year-old's arm, that would just be a lot. It would just be a lot to take in. That's something, I guess, to keep an eye on. I've had this question posed to me. I've posed it to others. Kevin and I touched on it briefly as we were waiting for the story to go live earlier tonight. Are we surprised at where the Chiefs are at right now? And just sort of how they've handled it along the way. Because It's not the grossest mishandling of any PR nightmare in the history of PR nightmares or anything like that. But I am a little bit surprised of the exact path that they've taken. I don't know if, we're looking at the dotted line of Jeffy running around Family Circus. They get to point A to point B in the most inefficient way possible. It feels like that's kind of on the table at this point. Inefficient is a word that I would use to describe what the Chiefs have been in this Tyreek Hill story. I also don't inherently blame a team for waiting on more information and trying to play the slow game. But what's the path the rest of this story could take that doesn't end with cutting Tyreek Hill? Is it a full admission of guilt from the fiance that she was the one abusing their son and that Hill is completely blameless? Like, I mean, that would probably do it, right? Also, he abused her in college while she was pregnant with this child. There's audio of him admitting that he punches his son as a try to create respect. And to be fair, man, I don't know what a Tyreek Hill punch at a three-year-old looks like. I don't think any punch at a three-year-old should ever, unless it's a zombie. I'm making an exception. If we're now in a zombie movie and they're just toddlers running at you, then call me. Until we're at that point, well, I mean, like, trying to, because this is something that was showing up in the comments, and it's just really, really frustrating. Going, oh, he didn't say that he, you think he punches his kid at full strength? Don't punch your kid at any strength! That is, listen, man, I'm not a parent. I don't want to tell people how to parent in general. I want to know my place on that front. Frankly, I'm not sure I want to be a parent at any point. I've got to imagine that the handbook that they give you whenever you get your baby from the stork or whatever says, don't punch this at all. And in that initial audio, this one like hits me different every time because the impact of it is just really interesting. We don't need to replay it. I'll just summarize it for the time being. Of how Tyreek Hill is talking about making sure that his son respects him. And then Espinal says he doesn't respect you. He's terrified of you. I don't know if a three-year-old, at least I don't know if a three-year-old can have respect. They certainly can't have a good understanding of it. And I imagine that fear and respect in the eyes of a toddler looks really, really similar to the outside. You have to understand that the kid's three. And someone else in the comments earlier said, oh, I spanked my kid, throw me in jail. Listen, first of all, there was like really interesting science that has essentially found out that spanking your children doesn't help them later in life, whatever. I'm not a parent. I'm not going to tell you how to be a parent. You could read it. The interesting research in that regard, whatever. If you were going to like hit a person in real life, could you disagree with them? I think that's an absolutely buck wild like thought process, but I'm not a parent. And it's fine. I feel like you probably shouldn't hit your kids. I'm not a parent. Whatever. You can discount me for whatever you want. That's fine, man. I don't know. I don't think you're going to let me parent your child, and I don't think I'm going to let you tell me if I think it's cool to hit kids or not, so whatever. We can probably just two ships in the night on that one. But this isn't an attempt to have a reasonable punishment for a child that exists somewhere within knowing strongly differences between right and wrong, but not maybe being at the place where they're able to have a decent conversation about it. Like, that's the window that we're looking at as far as like spanking, right? And if we're looking at spanking at all, which again, kind of weird, whatever. I'm like 12, so it's fine. I'm a millennial. Just yell at me. It's okay. I'm used to it. Everybody over, you can just yell at me and call me millennial, and I'll mute you on Twitter. I won't block you, though, because I think my tweets are good enough that you should still get to see them. But, like, isn't that the window we're talking about? And also, the conversations here's never been about spanking. For Adrian Peterson, it was drawing blood off of his kid's thighs with a switch. Can you not separate those things? Can you not separate a reasonable spank with drawing blood with a switch? Or punching a kid in the chest? I don't even remember exactly how he ended up here. The original conversation is, I don't know how the Chiefs have got to this exact point. I guess it was, what would it take for them to end up keeping him on the team? I think whatever situation you can create in your head to say, ah, yeah, this is the way that they keep Tyreek Hill, is if this happens. I think, as far as I can tell, pretty much all those situations are 99% out of the realm of possibility. The 1% is just because stuff happens. I don't know. It might just straight up be 100. I've mostly read comments that are yelling, and so I want to say thanks to Chris for tweeting at me and saying that I'm spot on tonight. Thanks, Chris. Let's take a break. Let's take a break, if not for your sake, then for mine. We're live here on Sports Radio 810. We're going to hang out for 45 more minutes and try to piece stuff together. If you've got a smarter, interesting comment or a smarter, interesting question, we're on the Facebook page. I'll try to scroll through a few of those. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe or at Sports Radio 810, and we'll just hang out here for a little while. The sporting show will go a completely other direction at 8 o'clock. At 9, we've got the NBA playoffs. So if you think that you've got about 45 more minutes of interest in this conversation, that's exactly what we'll offer for you here on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe, talking about everything with Tyreek Hill, because that's just what we're doing for 2 hours over here today. Been in here since about 6. Thanks everybody who's had good contributions. I appreciate you can decide if I'm talking to you or not, but thanks everyone who's had good contributions trying to advance the conversation, which at this moment I will include Tanner in, who brings up a conversation that I want to go ahead and touch on for a second. And this also came up. I didn't have a chance to read the whole thing, but I saw Sam Mellinger Minutes this week touch on a couple of different sort of topics within this. So thanks, Tanner, for bringing it up. Tanner says, start docking the team's draft picks for signing repeat offenders, and the Chiefs won't need to be scared about the Browns or other teams picking up Hill after they cut him, like with Hunt. So I appreciate the intent very much. I appreciate the intent there very much. I don't know how you make that happen. I would also argue that that's usually the logic for, like, not paying college athletes. I'm like, well, you know what? Figure it out. Like, you just go ahead. Let's decide we're going to do it and then figure out how we go about doing that, right? This might be the path to head down, because at this point, so let's say the Chiefs cut him, and that he's suspended for a year, and then someone else signs him. What team is the most evil empire there? What team is the most enabler there? I will say that the Chiefs drafting him puts them in a similar category, so you can take that for what you will. But if the Browns, you know, they sign Kareem Hunt, and then they sign Tyreek Hill, which I don't actually think they'll do, but let's say that they were to do that. Wouldn't there be a logic for the greater good to say, all right, hey, listen, Cleveland, if you're going to bring in this guy that's had this sort of suspension and this kind of incident, it's going to cost you. You can have him for a second round pick. I don't know how the Players Association lets that happen. I don't know how that works for what about Ezekiel Elliott, the speech that he got? What if he hits free agency? There are a lot of boundaries that would have to be put around all of these different situations that would try to create the exact right situation for every individual situation. And the NFL really bleeps itself over whenever it tries to go by a case-by-case basis. Again, I don't want to say that that's a reason to not continue to follow that line of thinking, because I really do think that there's merit to it, and that may be where the league eventually attempts to go. the NFL is just so clumsy about all of this. And especially whenever they leave the cookie cutter comfort of 4 games and 8 games in a year. Whenever they have to leave that and go case by case, you get lawsuits and Jerry Jones freaking out and all sorts of other stuff that, frankly, the NFL just isn't all that well equipped to handle. So I am very much intrigued by that idea. I think that put into practice, the NFL would probably screw it up pretty good. So, again, maybe that's the right call. I just have very little faith in the league to actually pull that off. David says, I would say that drafting the wide receiver signals their intent. Mecole Hardman out of Georgia, the first pick they made this year, traded up to get him, in fact. Is there a risk of cutting him and another team picking him up? I don't see an advantage to cutting him immediately and a risk of other teams picking him up unless he's banned from football. He'll get picked up. Can't see him playing in August. So this whole line of thinking, the reason I pulled that comment is because this whole line of thinking has been pretty prevalent. A little bit surprising. First of all, I do think they could have drafted Hardman with Hill still on the roster. Those guys pair up for crazy speed, and you probably would have cut Sammy Watkins after this season. Whatever. That's not really the most important part. Basically, it's what's the advantage to cut? The question here is, what's the advantage to cutting him now if another team could pick him up? The advantage to cutting him now is not trying to sell your fans on a football team that currently employs a guy whose face and name was plastered all over the city last year, who apparently thinks that it's an okay thing to punch his 3-year-old child in the chest. That's what you gain, is you get to start the process of taking that guy's jersey off the backs of children, which is something that I've seen on multiple occasions, and that made me uncomfortable just because of his incident in college. That always rubbed me the wrong way. But it's beginning the process of taking his action figures out of the rooms of kids and the jerseys off of the backs of Chiefs fans, and it's his name and face off of the signs and Arrowhead and all of that. It's starting the healing process. From an organizational standpoint, the healing process of we, the Kansas City Chiefs, made an enormous mistake, and we're sorry, and we'll learn from this, and oh God, the audio from, find that for me, Beards, the audio from whenever they drafted Tyreek Hill with John Dorsey and Andy Reid. We all did our due diligence and all of that. You can try to come out with the utmost humility and begin. You can't write it. You can't write the wrong there. But you can begin that healing process. And keeping them this long is just delaying all of that. That's what I would say the advantage is to moving on sooner rather than later and not waiting for the NFL to be the organization that decides he can't play anymore. You can skip the middleman and say, we're not worried if he plays in the NFL again or not. We're worried that he doesn't play for the Kansas City Chiefs anymore. That is something that you are able to handle. David said that's a good point, and I agree. Thanks. You're welcome, David. Thanks for bringing up an interesting point. I appreciate people asking questions and listening. This is a little bit tangential, but it's really tough. And since we're just talking about sort of Tyreek Hill and this whole storyline for a couple hours, I want to bring this back around. Beards, you just pulled up the audio clip, so let me know exactly what it is that I'm throwing to you. Is this John Dorsey and Andy Reid talking about drafting Tyreek Hill?
It's that emergency press conference they had on, what was that, day three?
Yes, it would have been day three, I guess.
Saturday.
So, yeah, okay, so here, I mean, they're taking questions about, hey, you just drafted this
Andy
dude.
Reid's on his phone in his office.
Yeah, like upstairs.
Right.
Right. Hey, you just drafted this guy that has this horrible thing from his collegiate experience and was kicked off his team and, like, maybe should have gone to jail and definitely had to take a plea deal sort of thing. What was it that allowed you to pick this guy? This is from Tyreek Hill's draft day whenever Andy Reid and then GM John Dorsey addressed the media, and it does not age well.
We have done all of our due diligence. I mean, we really have. And I will say this right off the bat. You know, I have young children here. I have a girl and I have a boy. But I would hope that if somebody in my seat did as much work as I could, I'd be happy with that. Because I know that I would never I would never put this community in any type of situation where I knew it would not be good. And we've done that. I would like to ask you guys to have a little bit of trust in us in this thing.
One thing I can add into that, John, so my wife and I have been hugely involved in domestic violence. So, it's been an awesome, awesome venture for the last 14 years. So, The unique part of this, and I think the part that we have to understand is very seldom does the other side try to right the wrong, you know, however you want to divide it, try to right the wrong. And so much effort, I mean, from the Hope House to, you know, these different, the different programs in the city here that are involved with this, strive to try to get that other half to better themselves. So, that's where we see this kid trying to do that. I mean, he's trying to make this effort to right the wrong. And that's I think that can be a great example to so many people that are falling into this situation. And again, I've seen a number of these cases. You have to trust me over time here.
You know, you can just, as you sat there and listened to Andy talking those words, you can see that this really is, for this organization, this is one of those things. We don't take this very lightly. And I just want you all to understand, we will do everything we can to ensure that this community does not have these types of situations that will come. We're not going to bring that in this community. Okay, we will not do that.
That's Andy Reid and then GM John Dorsey addressing the media after drafting Tyreek Hill. That ages really, really, really poorly.
You know, I would like to ask you guys to have a little bit of trust in us in this thing.
And so this is one aspect of it that, like, I do think where the NFL is at the very least not doing their best work, that there's a better way of doing this on some level. Reid and Dorsey come out and say, we did our due diligence, just trust me. And then they're wrong. John Dorsey's in Cleveland. Andy Reid's not going to get punished for this. I'm not even sure that he should. There's no accountability there. It's just talk. And so the next time that some team picks up or drafts somebody with a domestic abuse incident, and then they come in, I mean, honestly, frankly, Frank Clark has a, it's different. It's a different scenario, but maybe I should be skeptical there also. I don't know. That's going to forever taint my ability to take any of that seriously. At least, and one thing with Frank Clark, he took a lot of questions on his opening presser last week, and I thought answered them well and seemed to have a vision for some things that he wants to do as far as helping people, especially the homeless community, that like makes me, I don't know, man, maybe I want to believe. But the next time that somebody comes through and says, hey, just ask you to trust us a little bit on this guy. How could you? How could you trust someone that starts that talks that way, and then there's no accountability for years later, whenever that, what's the saying about coming home to roost? I guess it could have just been when that comes home to roost. Does there need to be a chicken involved for that phrase to make sense? It's not when that chicken comes home to roost. That's not the saying. I'm Googling now. One of my favorite things, this is not a fun show that we're doing right now. We're not having a good time. One of my favorite things to do in general during shows is to stumble into idioms and then find the origin of them. Maybe we can figure that out whenever we come back. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Josh Abrisco. I don't know if this show is anything in particular. I'll be back on tomorrow night at 8 with Almost Entirely Sports. It'll be the second official Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810. The first show was last night. Tonight's a show that's just sort of in between. This is an in-between space sort of thing. And then tomorrow night, AES comes back. Rudy will be back in, and I promise it will be more fun than this. So yeah, that'll be here tomorrow from 8 to 10. Coming up tonight in about 25 minutes, you'll get Nate Bucati and the Sporting Kansas City show. And then at 9 o'clock tonight, we have an NBA playoff game between the I'm going to do a different voice whenever I say the team names. A game between the
Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets.
Oh, great. That's a good game. That'll be on 8, 10, at 9.
A lot of complaining in that game. That'll be what happens.
That's also true. It'll look like our damn Facebook comments in there. More whenever we come back on Sports Radio 810. Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Josh Abrisco. We're talking about the Tyreek Hill development from earlier tonight. This show is not a show. This is an update. This is a two-hour-long update. We'll get to the sporting show here in 20 minutes. NBA basketball, Warriors and Rockets in an hour and 20 minutes. I did make good on my promise, which was to find the origins of, I guess it is, chickens coming home to roost. It's a half a millennium old proverbial expression. The older, fuller form was, curses are like chickens. They always come home to roost, meaning that your offensive words or actions are likely at some point to rebound on you. The idea goes back to Chaucer, though he expressed it rather differently in The Parson's Tale around 1390, writing that curses are, quote, like a bird that returns again to its own nest. So there you go. I got you the origin of an idiom. That was almost fun. That felt something like fun in the midst of 2 hours of very serious discussions about things like child abuse and general spanking and the Chiefs not cutting the guy responsible for that. At this point, man, I've watched enough Game of Thrones at this point that I'm just thinking Game of Thrones gifts. You know, the one that's already on Twitter all over the place of Jon Snow just sort of like twirling his sword, facing a horde running at him. I've kind of been in that mindset for long enough so far tonight. Like, we started talking about like spanking your kids, and I gave like the beginning half of an opinion on that. So at this point, I'm pretty much throwing it all to the wind. So I'm just running into the comments and the Twitter responses and everything. Corey said on Twitter, we already know this relationship is toxic on both sides. We need to save the child and stop protecting both parents. There's a lot of truth in that tweet. There's more truth than untruths or misses in there, right? This is a toxic relationship. The child is the child and the two children that Crystal Espinal is currently pregnant with need to be protected as the first priority here. Not to attack Corey who sent this tweet in. That can all be true while also acknowledging purposefully that Crystal Espinal is still a victim. This sounds like a bad household, a really bad relationship. She is still absolutely a victim here. The kids are the blameless victims, right? The 3-year-old and the 2 unborn ones are victims who had no control over absolutely anything. The fact that Crystal Espinal had choices somewhere along the line doesn't make her like an equal wrongdoer to what we know about Tyreek Hill. She's made bad choices and may have contributed to a toxic environment in their relationship and for their child. That may be true, but her victimhood still matters here. And I just want to be as clear as possible about maintaining that as I can, because I think that that's really important, and that a string of bad decisions doesn't mean that now you are responsible for the abuse that you've endured. I think that's an important distinction to make, and I think we've made it. All right, we got to get in another commercial break, so we're going to take one more break here on Sports Radio 810. Whenever we come back, again, we'll basically just here to talk to you while I keep an eye on TweetDeck to see if anybody makes any statements or anything. I find it rather unlikely based off of the sort of lack of additional bombshell or anything from tonight. We will play it for you one more time, though, whenever we come back. If you've missed it, we'll give you the KCTV 5 report from earlier today, and I'll give you some sort of parting thoughts before we hand it over to Nate Bucati and the Sporting Kansas City show, and then NBA basketball at 9 o'clock. If you want to chime in, you can do it anytime, but if you want to chime in during this show, at JB Briscoe on Twitter, at Sports Radio 810 on Twitter. I'll be back over here at 8 tomorrow night with Almost Entirely Sports, though, and we'll obviously, this will be talked about throughout all the shows tomorrow here on Sports Radio 810. We'll talk about it a little bit more whenever we come back, though. Again, talking about Tyreek Hill, the update from KCTV 5 today, and what happens next. Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe here for a sort of Chiefs special show. Really, we're talking about Tyreek Hill, the KCTV 5 report from today, and what happens next. If you've joined us recently here, I do want you to hear the report from earlier today on Channel 5. They have an update here that they'll explain, but it's a 911 dispatch call, and you'll get the details of it. It appears that Tyreek Hill called 911 after seeing his pregnant fiance passed out at their home while he was in a hotel. There's a lot of questions. I get it. I know this gives you more questions than answers, but for the sake of making sure you know as much as we do, here is the Channel 5 KCTV 5 report from earlier tonight.
And another one for child abuse and neglect. We discovered 3 more reports through an open records request. One may explain why Crystal Espinal lost custody of her 3-year-old son.
Calling 234 for a medical call.
This is dispatch audio alerting medical crews are needed at the home of Tyreek Hill.
The medical call, 1 Schweitzer Road. Caller advising he's currently at a hotel. He sees a female passed out. The female was watching the reporting party's 3-year-old son. The 3-year-old is walking around with no one attending him. The female is 7 months pregnant. Medical's also responding.
These are pictures from inside that home that Hill rents. They were taken before Hill and eventually Espinal moved in. The police report shows a woman, the likely owner of this home, also shows up at the house, likely to let police inside. We reached out to Crystal Espinal, her family, and her attorney about the police report documenting a call for medical help. We have not heard a response. Remember, she's 7 months pregnant with twins. This new information fits with the timeline KCTV 5 has been investigating and reporting. It all starts in March with the police reports concerning the couple's 3-year-old child. The complaint concerned a broken arm from January. Those reports were taken on March 5th and March 14th.
KCTV 5 reports on that police investigation on March 15th. The call for medical help for Crystal comes 2 weeks later on April 1st, when Tyreek Hill is living in a hotel due to a no-contact order with his son. That same week, Hill heads to court alone.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
Sources tell us that's because Crystal Espinal was in the hospital and could not make it to court. At that hearing, Crystal loses custody.
Are you hoping to get custody back of your son?
Less than 2 weeks later, both parents head to court holding hands, but a judge does not grant either of them custody. At that point, a police investigation is underway into that broken arm, and a medical call for help has been made for the mother. The next day, KCTV 5 breaks the story. The parents no longer have custody.
Has declined to file charges.
1 week later, on the 24th, the district attorney holds a press conference announcing there will be no charges. He's closing the case because he can't determine which parent to charge.
This investigation got brought back up.
The next day, KCTV 5 releases the exclusive audio between parents Tyreek Hill and Crystal Espinal.
Because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people.
That night at 8 p.m., there is a new police report showing a welfare check. The Chiefs announce Tyreek Hill is suspended from all football activities. On Friday, the district attorney reopens the criminal investigation. On Saturday, there is a fifth report for an alarm being tripped.
So we do not know why Crystal was seen passed out inside her home at 5 in the evening. The big question we now have concerns those cameras inside the home. When were they installed? And were investigators able to see what happened inside the home between these parents and their son? So we will keep you posted on where this investigation heads next. Tonight, neither parent faces any charges, but the DA says a crime has been committed and a judge has ruled the boy should remain in the care of another family. Angie Wercono, KCTV 5 News.
So that's from Channel 5 at 6 o'clock today. I mean, it's just none of it's good, obviously. And you hear in there also that there's the no contact order between Hill and his son. There's a lot of questions about the Espinal being passed out and then the cameras and all the stuff that came out tonight. I've said this many times over, but I imagine most people just joining in for snippets here or there. It's just shading in, maybe coloring in certain aspects of a picture that we've already gotten the outlines of. This was some flavor text, essentially, adding to the conversation, but not fundamentally changing it. If you want to talk more, I'm on Twitter, JB Briscoe. You can listen to the podcast page on 810WHB.com later tonight if you missed any of tonight's show. Enjoy the sporting show and then the NBA. That's at 8 and 9 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810.